Would you pray with me? God, we come before you this morning with open hearts. God, I pray that you would speak to us. God, would you use my words to be your words? And would we learn from your word this morning? In your name we pray. Amen. There's been a few times in my life where I have really felt the presence of God in a very powerful and a unique way. And I can't really explain it to you. I can't prove it to you. And usually I don't quite understand the significance of those moments until much later down the road. You know, God meets with us in our everyday lives, and that's important. I'm going to talk about that. But there's just those moments sometimes where you feel Christ working in a powerful way. I remember the summer between my 8th and 9th grade year when I was 13 years old. I went to summer camp with my family, and the speaker in the evenings had been going through a bunch of sermons, I guess. And on Wednesday or Thursday night, he shared the good news of Jesus Christ. And I'd heard that before. I grew up in the church, and I was even a Christian. But it hit me in a very different and powerful way and opened up my heart to something new, and I felt like I needed to recommit to following Jesus every day of my life. I remember when I saw the Passion movie the first time about 15 years ago. I knew that Jesus had suffered and he had died, but I'd never realized how much he had suffered and how painful and how huge of a sacrifice that was. And I didn't know what to do afterwards, but go back to my room and I cried. I just could not understand how someone could love me so much. I remember in college, my freshman year, about a month and a half in, I'd gotten to know a couple guys that were older than me that were leading my Bible study and were amazing men of God. And one Saturday night, I went to go ask them just for a ride to church in the morning. And I ended up spending about 4.5 hours in their dorm room with them that night. And they challenged me in a way to live out my faith that I'd never really experienced before. They said, "Jeremy, if you want to be a man of God, you are going to have to live by a different standard. If you want to be a leader, you're going to be held to a higher standard, and you're going to have to live a life that is above reproach, where people can't find fault in you. Are you going to be perfect? No. But they challenged me not just to be a good kid, not just to read the Bible, but if that I wanted to step up, I was going to have to change the way I was going to live. I even remember about 2 years ago when we went on our first mission trip to Belize, we were handing out food to families who had need. And about the second or third family, when we were handing out food, we'd always pray for the family at the end. And Paula, who you guys met several months ago, she pointed to one of the senior girls just out of the blue and said, "Why don't you pray for this time?" And the look on her face was like, "Oh, okay." And she prayed. And I didn't think much of it at the time, but she shared later on in the week that that was the first time she'd ever prayed out loud for somebody else in her life. And it blew her away. And it was just like this moment. You wouldn't have even have told. But just to see the impact it had on her life, I was like, wow, God was present on that trip. And you know what? I'll never forget these moments. Some of them have happened years and years and years ago. And they are a part of who I am. They have molded me and they have shaped me. But you know what else is a part of who I am? A lot of things that have happened day after day after day in my life. My mom, I'm a pastor's kid, is married to a pastor, and every Sunday of my entire life, I was woken up to go to church without fail. And every Sunday, I had to go to Sunday school. Whatever the doors were open, I was there. I even remember as a college kid, 19, 20, and 21 years old, living at home in the summer, my mother still coming into my bedroom and saying, "Jeremy, it's time for Sunday school." And I said, "Mom, I'm too old for Sunday school." "No, you're not. You're coming with me." And I'm like, "Oh, great. I get to go to the old ladies' Sunday school." No offense to the old ladies, but hanging out with your mom and her friends, and there was men there too. I was like, wow, this is great when you're 19. But every Sunday, my mom made sure we were in church. I remember when I was in 5th, 6th, and 7th grade, I lived in Germany. And I had this midweek youth group thing that we did. And my leaders, Tobias and Anno, invested in these punk little preteen kids. And I honestly can't remember one specific lesson that I learned. But for weeks and weeks, I enjoyed and wanted to go to church and hang out with these guys and learn about the Bible. I remember, I remember growing up, my boss, Dave Meyer, ran a construction company. I worked for him from the end of my 8th grade year through the senior year graduation of college for 8 summers full time. And Dave wasn't just a construction worker, he was an elder in our church. And he showed me how you can put Christ before your work. Because I missed a ton of work for youth retreats, for mission trips that were sometimes weeks and months long, for different things that I was doing with the church. And never once in 8 years did I ever have to miss a church event because of work. Because Dave taught me that the job was never more important than Christ. I even remember starting back here in 2007, 8.5 years ago. I show you that picture because You probably can't tell which one's the high schooler and which one's the youth minister in the bottom right. I tried to find a picture of Jason Lomax in his full beard because then he really did look like the adult and I didn't. But I remember there was families that invested in me, the Lomaxes, the Hansons, Dave Cab, Lee, Cheryl, the Parsons. There were so many more names, I can't name them all, that invested in this 23-year-old kid 1 week at a time and got to come and got to grow. I remember the big cheese himself, Matt and I. He had done youth ministry for like 10 years, and he probably was annoyed out of his mind that every day I would knock on his door probably 10 to 15 times asking him questions because I had no idea what I was doing. And he would encourage me, and he would challenge me and just guide me forward day after day. So what has my journey been? Has it been shaped by these really big moments, or has it been a day-by-day-by-day process? Well, I believe it's both. I believe both are so tremendously important. And that for every one of those amazing moments that I got to spend with God, there are hundreds of people and hundreds of hours that people invested into my life to get there. See, our relationship with Jesus Christ isn't defined by one specific moment. I do believe in a God that can change our lives in one moment and moving forward make us new people. There's examples of that in the Bible. You see Saul when he turned to Paul, when Jesus talked to the woman at the well, when he called Matthew the tax collector to be with him, when Zacchaeus turned his life around and gave his money to the poor. God can change somebody in a moment, but it also changed them day after day moving forward. See, most of us here at Dexter United Methodist Church know who Jesus is. We've heard of him. We've read the Bible. And I believe that Jesus isn't calling us to him, but he is calling us to walk with him day after day after day. And I think we see a great example of that in the Bible. I want to share with you just a quick story from the Old Testament in the book of Daniel. What story comes to mind first when you think of Daniel? Daniel in the lion's den. Even my 4-year-old son, who has amazing Sunday school teachers, knows that story and can tell it to me. And I love that story. And I'm glad that Daniel recorded it so we get to see God's power. But you know what? There's much more to that story. He recorded that, but I'm guessing it wasn't as exciting every day to write down, prayed to God today and still staying faithful. Oh, yeah, spend a night in a den with lions. You know, they don't really compare. But he did give us some small glimpses into his life. And I want to set the scene for you really quick. Daniel was a teenager when the nation of Israel was conquered by Babylon. And what they would do, the Babylonians would come in and they would find the brightest, the smartest, the best looking, the strongest young men that they could find, and they would take them in captivity and bring them back to Babylon. So as a teenager, Daniel's taken to Babylon. And then they would raise these kids up. They would give them the best teaching, the best food, everything they could, so that someday they would be trained up to help run the country. So Daniel as a teenager is taken away and doesn't have his family, doesn't have a church. He has a very small community of friends. You may have heard of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they lived together in Babylon. And Daniel was faithful to God day after day. And eventually, King Darius took notice and began to elevate him and his responsibilities. And eventually, there was King Darius, and there was 3 men underneath him that ran the country. And Daniel was one of those 3 men. But as you can imagine, if you're a kid from a different country, that doesn't sit well with everybody else. And there was men that wanted to get rid of him. They were jealous of Daniel's position. And they tried to find dirt on him. They just tried to blackmail him, and they could not do it. They looked and looked and searched. And here's where we pick up the story in Daniel chapter 6, verse 5. It says, "Finally these men said, 'We will never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel unless it has something to do with the law of his God.'" They couldn't find anything against Daniel, and so they figured, you know what? We're going to have to use his faith against him somehow. That's the only way we're going to find dirt on this guy. And so they tricked the king into signing an edict, a decree, saying for 30 days, nobody in the entire kingdom could worship anyone but King Darius. And if they did, they would be thrown into a pit of lions to be devoured and killed. And you know what? What does Daniel do when he hears this decree? He's one of the top guys in charge. He heard about it immediately. This blew my mind, Daniel's response. Because this is my mom taking me to church every Sunday for years. This is a Sunday school teacher, youth group leader, investing in somebody for years. This is you staying plugged in the church and making Christ your number one priority above sports, above money, above your work, above your Facebook status profile, about whatever it is, and following him faithfully every day. Because you know what Daniel did? In verse 10, he says, "Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem, his hometown. 3 times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before." And those 6 words really challenged me this week when I was reading that. Just as he had done before. When I experience persecution, when I get into a situation that's going to be tough, is my first response to do just as I have been doing. You know what that implies? That I've been doing that. That I've been getting on my knees daily and that I've been praying and that I've been faithful. And there have been many times in my life where I've not been faithful and I've not been praying to God. And so what does it mean to be faithful every day? Well, Daniel was for years and years. And through that faithfulness, he got to see God work in a very powerful way. When you finish the story, King Darius found out about the way that his people below him had tricked him because he loved Daniel. He respected him. But he knew he had to follow the decree as well. And so Daniel was thrown into this pit of lions overnight. King Darius couldn't sleep the whole night. He was in agony. And the first thing in the morning, he ran downstairs, had the stone removed, and he yelled into this pit and said, "Daniel, has your God saved you?" And Daniel responds to King Darius, "My God sent an angel and shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done anything wrong before you, your majesty." So what does that mean for us today? Well, I'm going to put it in youth ministry terms for you because that's what I'm most familiar with. For every kid that commits their life or makes an amazing decision for Christ at a retreat, at a mission trip in Flint or Belize or SOS, there are hundreds of Sunday school lessons and small group Bible studies that have been led that brought them to that point. There's a huge amount of work that builds up to these amazing times. And I want to tell you that I believe every Sunday school lesson, every small group Bible study, every youth group, every mission trip, and every big event are equally important in our journey as we go towards God because they all work together. I've taken hundreds of kids on mission trips over the last 8.5 years, and something that I've seen to be true almost without any exception, and I couldn't think of one myself, but I say without in case there was one. Kids experience Christ when they go on mission trips and retreats. They do. And whenever you experience Christ, it changes your life. But the kids that weren't plugged in before and don't get plugged in afterwards, it doesn't stick. It comes and it goes. Now, God is powerful. He can do anything. But if you are not following God daily, all it becomes is an amazing memory that you look back on instead of something that propels you forward and allows you to grow in your faith day after day after day. Now, how this applies to us individually, I have no idea. I try to figure out how stuff applies to my wife, and I can't even figure that out. So I'm not going to try to tell you what you need to do. But I thought of three questions for you to consider as you figure out, okay, what does it mean for me to follow God faithfully? Am I following Christ daily and getting on my knees and not just relying on these big experiences? Am I investing in the lives of others and helping guide them in their journey? There are so many Sunday school teachers and youth group leaders and pastors that have invested in my life over the last 32 years. And the last question is, am I getting my family, whether I'm the dad, mom, sister, aunt, uncle, grandparent, brother, whatever, am I getting my family plugged in and making sure that Christ is the number one priority for us? We're blessed here at Dexter United Methodist Church with an amazing opportunity for kids, for youth, for adults. You can get involved locally. You can get involved in missions overseas. But I challenge you to get plugged in on a day-to-day basis. As we remember our lion's den-like experiences that we meet with God, would we also remember how powerful God can work in those day-to-day activities when we follow him faithfully? I just want to end with this passage from Daniel once again. Chapter 6, verse 10. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. 3 times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God just as he had done before. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for this amazing opportunity to follow you. I know that you are faithful and that you are just and that you love us. I know that you challenge us and that you want us to walk with you daily. God, I pray that we would have the courage to do that we would challenge each other along that, and that we would invest in the lives of others as they grow closer to you as well. In your amazing name we pray. Amen.